What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 176. In this episode, I'll discuss double anaerobic coverage. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode176. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. Anaerobic pathogens are found in the mouth and the lower gastrointestinal tract. Oral anaerobes are the gram-positives, Peptococcus and Peptostreptococcus. Intestinal anaerobes are Fusobacterium, Prevotella, and more commonly, Bacteroides fragilis. Oral anaerobes are easily covered with penicillins or clindamycins. Think anything that a dentist would prescribe. Intestinal anaerobes are not always as easily covered. Antibiotic coverage against Bacteroides is excellent for metronidazole, piperacillin tazobactam, and carbapenems. Resistance against these agents is generally less than 1%. Coverage against Bacteroides is not as good for ampicillin, moxifloxacin, and clindamycin, with resistance rates exceeding 35% for the latter two of these agents. Double anaerobic coverage is the combination of two or more of any of the following agents: ampicillin sulbactam, the carbapenems, cefotetan, cefoxitin, clindamycin, metronidazole, moxifloxacin, piperacillin tazobactam, or tigecycline. A common antibiotic stewardship intervention is the elimination of double anaerobic coverage. I approach the question of double anaerobic coverage this way. If an agent with less than 1% chance of resistance versus Bacteroides is already being used, there's no need to add a second anaerobic agent. And if an agent with a high chance of resistance to Bacteroides is being used, it makes more sense to switch to an agent with low resistance rather than to add a second anaerobic agent. So for the combination of clindamycin plus piperacillin tazobactam, I would stop the clindamycin since it has a higher resistance rate. And for the combination of metronidazole plus a carbapenem, I would stop the metronidazole since the carbapenem covers aerobic pathogens in addition to anaerobic ones. Anyone reading the IDSA guidelines for intra-abdominal infections might be led to believe that double anaerobic coverage is indicated. There is some confusion in the guidelines. The recommendation reads like this: to achieve empiric coverage of likely pathogens, multi-drug regimens that include agents with expanded spectra of activity against gram-negative, aerobic, and facultative bacilli may be needed. These agents include meropenem, imipenem, doropenem, piperacillin tazobactam, or ceftazidime or cefepime in combination with metronidazole. So when reading that recommendation, it's not clear whether the guideline is suggesting metronidazole be added to the other anaerobic agents or only to ceftazidime or cefepime. But if you turn to Table 3 of the guidelines, you can see in the header that it is clear metronidazole is only to be combined with ceftazidime or cefepime and not with carbapenems or piperacillin tazobactam. So does double anaerobic coverage ever make sense? In my opinion, there's two scenarios where you can consider double anaerobic coverage appropriate. Number one, when a patient has an infection that requires anaerobic coverage and they require metronidazole for a Clostridium difficile infection. And number two, when a patient has necrotizing fasciitis and clindamycin is added to other anaerobic coverage to reduce bacterial toxin production. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.